your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 24th of June, 2025, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Yes, don't squeeze the mango. Not too hot anyway. But you got to squeeze it a little bit to test it. Because like I told you, a lot of mangoes, a lot of people are getting disappointed this mango season because the mango looks perfect. Like I have a tree, the mangoes are beautiful, are yellow and like red. It transitions from yellow to orange to red. It's the most gorgeous thing, right? But if you wait too long, that mango is already ripened while you think it's still green. So remember to test your tree. Make sure you know when is the optimal time to pick fruit from the tree. See, because waiting for it to drop on the ground may not be the best idea. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. We got lots to talk about this morning. First of all, ministry warns of brutal heat wave. Local health officials are advising members of the public to keep cool as meteorologists are forecasting a brutal heat wave that will spread across the Caribbean and eastern United States this week. The Ministry of Health and Wellness and the Bahamas Department of Meteorology issued an advisory on Sunday encouraging residents to pay close attention to this week's projected heat index, which is expected to range from 95 degrees to 100 degrees. Now, let me tell you something. It's June. The heat index was 100 degrees in March. I'm not saying that its information is inaccurate. What I'm saying is I imagine the heat index is actually in the middle of the day closer to 103, 105. The index, the heat index, falls into three categories: excessive, severe, and extremely severe. Excessive ranges from 102 Fahrenheit to 111 Fahrenheit. Severe ranges from 112 Fahrenheit to 122 Fahrenheit and extremely severe is over 122 degrees Fahrenheit. The heat wave is expected to last for several days, bringing record high temperatures. Officials warn that the increasing frequency, duration, and intensity of heat waves can lead to heat-related illnesses and death, especially in vulnerable groups such as the elderly, children, and those with pre-existing health conditions. Quote, illnesses can range from mild symptoms such as heat cramps and exhaustion to dizziness and fainting spells to painful body cramps at the end of an extended exercise routine, the advisory said. Quote, if at any point you become confused, extremely drowsy, or unconscious, you need to seek emergency medical help. Heat stroke can be fatal if not treated properly. The ministry said residents should aim to stay hydrated, utilize sunscreen, limit time spent outdoors in the sun, and to wear light, breathable clothing and head coverings. Okay, so for people running summer camps, day camps, residential camps, vacation Bible school, please be careful with your young people outdoors and plan your activities in short intervals. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Rita, yeah, people in Bahamas, boys were outside yesterday. Boy, it had to be at least 356,000 degrees yesterday outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want people to hydrate and drink water, but don't be stupid enough to drink too much water.
Yeah.
Remember in 2023, the woman died from drinking too much water?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you could drink all that water, Ms. Green?
I tell you what, because sometimes you have a condition where no matter how much water you drink, you still feel thirsty, right?
No. I have a clue with something with that, you know. I'm not 100% sure of this, right? But I have an idea. I think the water company is some waters, right?
Uh-huh.
You have to realize certain waters you drink, no matter how much water you drink, the back of your throat is be dry.
Mm.
I'm sure they're putting something in that to cause you drink more water. Because it's impossible that you drink water and the back of your throat dry.
No, listen, I'm telling you, you could have a condition like no matter how much water you drink, you
what
still
you
feel dry. It exists. It exists. Plus, we also know that even water taken in the wrong dosages, let's say in the wrong amounts, can be fatal. Anything taken in the wrong amounts can be fatal. But you're absolutely right. Be encouraging people to drink water, but also reminding people that you can oversaturate yourself with water. So be careful. And if you have any medical conditions, are you taking any medication? Please reach out to your doctor and confirm whether the amount of water you consume on a regular basis can change, right? If you can increase it and how much is too much.
Ms. Green, don't invite me no place. Who ain't getting no air conditioning? Because I ain't going.
And look here, we have to stay home all the time.
Oh, air conditioning breakdown.
You know, this. I'm wondering if we're prepared to have...
I'm letting you know now, if it's a man in Nassau and you have a woman... And you ain't getting no recognition. Your girl gone.
Yes.
Wherever she gone, she with another man.
And AC there. AC right there, wherever she is. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
So it's two things the heat wave make me think about. The first is our traffic, our road usage rules. Have we implemented the policy that large construction vehicles, like the big dump trucks, the big tractors, even the road equipment, the equipment to flatten the road, that all of this equipment now has to be, the hours on the road have to be restricted to the coolest hours of the 24-hour cycle? That perhaps we're going to have these vehicles moving back and forth at night? See, that becomes a problem because a lot of these large vehicles, they shouldn't be on the road at all because they don't have the proper light. The lights are not working. The signals are not working, right? And even when they are, the people who are driving them don't feel that they need to use lights and signals, right? These vehicles should not be on the road at the heat of the day, at the highest point at the temperature. We know that the asphalt at high temperatures will get soft and melt. And so are we going to see enforcement around that issue? And then a broader issue, are we considering that it's time for a massive cultural shift in how we do business in the Bahamas? Are we going to have to shift to a sort of Spanish model or to a Mediterranean model, or even, I think, some African states where in the middle of the day you have a siesta because it's too hot to do anything and all the businesses shut down for a couple of hours until the temp cools down and then we get back to business? Can we make that type of cultural and professional shift in the Bahamas? Now, I had an article I wanted to follow up. In fact, I wanted to talk about what was in Friday's paper, last week's paper, 15% drop in major crimes. I had that in major crime. I had that in my list for yesterday, but we didn't quite get to it. But I want to read something for one of the listeners. In fact, one of the callers yesterday. Here's an article, Bahamas-led region and percentage of murdered men, UN said. And I just want to reiterate to emphasize once again that I was not disagreeing with the point you're making about Bahamian men and violence, but that the language that you use is sort of counterproductive and self-defeating, and that perhaps we need to use different language to talk about ourselves. Here's the article, Bahamas-led region in percentage of murdered men, United Nations says, and it's the 20th of November, 2024. A United Nations study on crime in Latin America and the Caribbean found the Bahamas had the largest share of murder victims who were men. The report, Global Study on Homicide 2023, noted that worldwide, the perpetrators and victims of homicide are disproportionately male. Again, the perpetrators and victims of homicide are disproportionately male. Quote, this is particularly the case in Latin America and the Caribbean, where roughly 91% of homicide victims in 2021 were male, while the global average was 81%, the study found. Quote, the countries with the largest share of male homicide victims in Latin America and the Caribbean in 2021 were the Bahamas, 95%, Guyana, 93%, Haiti, 93%, Colombia, 92%, and Brazil, 92%. So that means that of all of the homicide victims in the Bahamas, 95% were male. In Guyana, 93% were male. In Haiti, 93% were male. In Colombia, 92%. And in Brazil, 92%. Quote, the men involved in homicidal violence across Latin America and the Caribbean are also disproportionately young. This is partly to be expected since the sub-region has a relatively large youth population, although the share of young people has been decreasing over time. In the Americas, including Northern America, more than 45% of homicide victims were aged between 15 and 29 years in 2021. Countries that registered the highest share of homicide victims in this age group included the Bahamas, 52%, El Salvador, 49%, Guatemala, 48%, and Colombia, 46%. Most victims in this age group were males. The Bahamas had 95 murders in 2019, 73 in 2020, 119 in 2021, 128 in 2022, and 110 in 2023. In 2022, the Royal Bahamas Police Force said 92% of the 128 people murdered were men. In 2023, police said 95% of the 110 people murdered were men. The majority of victims in both 2023 and 22 were between the ages of 18 and 35, according to police statistics. The UN study said the large share of young men who are victims of murder in the region can also be linked to the demography of criminal organizations across the subregion. The available data shows that women and girls are disproportionately affected by homicidal violence within the family, perpetrated by intimate partners or other family members, close quotes. I can stick a pin there. So to the caller, yeah, the study bears out what you're saying. Per capita, right? Per capita, we have the largest share of murder victims who are men. But tell me, are you comparing the Bahamas to El Salvador, Guatemala, Colombia? In fact, I can share a little anecdote. Maybe I'm muddy in the water. Maybe I'm complicating it unnecessarily. I've been to Honduras twice. I've been to Tegucigalpa twice. Is this the capital of Honduras? And both times I've gone for conferences, for work, we were given strict instructions to stay in the on the hotel compound by our lead organizers, our conference organizers. On my first trip, a group of young women, we wanted to go into town to buy some snacks and maybe do a little souvenir shopping. And the taxi driver that picked us up, once we were all sat in the vehicle, he said, "Y'all turn to your right." We turned to our right. He said, "Y'all see that shopping plaza right there across the road? That's where I'm taking y'all to shop, and I'm bringing you right back here." Okay? And that's just what it was. And so I'm just saying, right, that it's obviously important to look at these numbers. The point I was trying to make to you was that the language, though, paints a picture that's not quite real, and we have to be careful not to just use any old language thrown at us. I'm going to go to the phone line now. Good morning, caller.
Hey, D, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, is that the same language we use, you know, when we go, when we attend the Olympics? You know, mm-hmm. per capita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but you know, but I think, you know, how I think the information is useful is that, you know, we are such a low population area.
Yeah.
You know, stuff is more impactful in this demographic.
Right. I got you.
Yeah, you know, now the it should be an eye opener for us in this, you know, last week, you know, you were talking about culture, right?
Yes.
And after it's finished, you know, and I say, if everybody could have the idea that if you are a member of a culture,
mm-hmm.
you are a curator for that culture,
mm-hmm.
wherever you find yourself, you know, you can call yourself a curator in the country you in.
Yes.
And there are certain things you personally, you know, you just can't allow if your culture is to continue. You know, I kind of disagree with the language of that thing. But, you know, there is no place in our country that tourists cannot go.
Yeah.
You know, my I see them on Lincoln Boulevard walking up and down.
Yeah, yeah, they're no all problem. Over. And I people are so keyed into how tourism impacts their lives. I mean, yeah. Like, I think there are spaces that I can't go in that tourists could go in.
Oh, free.
Yeah.
Walking. My
and when I say that, what I mean is somebody could take them there before they take me there, and yeah. the people there are going to treat them decently because they understand how they plug into the bigger equation.
The importance.
Yeah.
The importance of it, you know. And, you know, if we see ourselves as persons who are providing a particular service for the rest of the world, in terms of, you know, all the world sees our locale as a safe place. I think it's incumbent on us, you know, we try to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
very much so.
Oh, hey.
Yes, sir.
Please tell Nuri good morning.
I will do. Nuri. The callers say, tell you good morning. Nuri say good morning, sir. Have a wonderful... Have a wonderful morning.
Okay, baby. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you and Nuri, if he's there. I want to address the thing we just said about the language.
Yeah.
And, you know, though we may try to avoid the language, it is what it is. I think the problem that Duncan was trying to make, Cleve was trying to make, is the fact that if you was to take the data and you look at what is the international standard for what is considered a conflict zone,
mm-hmm.
out of the 200 countries, the Bahamas is rated as the 11th place in the world today as being in an armed conflict location. And basically, it tells them, and that's because they treat the whole Bahamas. If you just take away, say, the other 100,000 from New Providence, we would move right up the rank in being the armed conflict based on the number of gang violence and deaths that occurs from the result of those particular crimes.
Right.
And
okay. I want to say, like, and I'm agreeing with you, and I want to make the point that I was agreeing with the caller. It's important to understand what it means because, right, we're too small to lose that many people, right, among other things. But the language is used to paint a picture of you and to make, you see what I'm saying? The language is also used as a tool, right?
No, it can be tool, but what I'm saying is that the expression I often say is that you can't manage what you can't measure, but you can't measure what you won't acknowledge.
No.
And so, see, that's just an example, right? Yes, regardless of how the language is used, and everyone doesn't enunciate in whatever in the same English language. But the point I think that Cleve was trying to make is that we need to recognize where we are.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I got his point.
Right. Because I want you to think about this, right? And this is why we're not addressing this issue. I want you to look at these guys, and they like to say these are what they call drug-related and gang-related and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These people, and we said, you know, crime and whatever, this is about opportunity. These guys standing on the corner or in that community, they know wholesale, retail, import, export, profit and loss. While doing all these things, at the same time, there's a group of people called the police trying to eliminate them, and there's another group of people called their competition that's trying to kill them, and they are still functioning. It tells you that these people have skills, but the problem is we are not providing opportunities for these individuals to use these particular skills they have, mm-hmm. which may not necessarily come from the formal education we put in the school, to redirect them into avenues. And so we talk about all of these 30 different economic models, which is a lot of them requires only the same skills that these individuals possess. But the problem is our leadership talks about these type of different economic models, like the orange economy and green and blue and digital and everything, but they do not understand the requirements of building the legislation, the policies and programs and process infrastructure necessary for these individuals to tap into these before they get to the point of this crime life.
I get you.
That's how we need to talk about it in context when we have all these so-called consultants in management talking about what they used to do and everything else and not looking at the reality of the solution rather than eloquently describing the problem.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Here's a text. I agree somewhat with Duncombe. Just because it's the pot calling the kettle black don't mean the kettle ain't black. There are people who live beautiful, comfortable, luxurious lives in Colombia and the other cartel-ridden South American countries where gangs routinely... Sorry, where... where gangs routinely kidnap and murder people, but because some people live a beautiful life there, don't mean some things ain't going on. I reference again the U.S. citizen who had his foot partially severed in the Atlantis nightclub, and it never showed up in a single police report. More things going on here than should be given our size, and it's a very bad sign. Maybe not a police report published to the public. That's some wild stuff. We all know about what happened when drugs infiltrated the ruling class of this country in the 70s and the 80s. We are likely seeing the same thing with less visible drugs. Thank you, text. We don't have to agree, but it's a thoughtful text. You know, without a doubt, we have to focus on this issue. See, Carl, I'm coming to you right now. I want to bring it to you from my perspective as an LGBTI rights advocate. I'm going to go to the caller first. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? I'm sorry we lost you, caller. Okay. I said I'm an LGBTI rights advocate. I'm a gay rights advocate, right? And I was working through, you remember the Stop Murder Music campaign? The campaign, I think it emanated out of Britain and maybe Canada, out of the global north. And one of the kind of targets was Buju Banton. And they say the Stop This Murder Music campaign. And out of that came this language, Jamaica is the most homophobic place on earth. Right now, as an advocate, I know the levels of violence that gay people face, can face, do face, have faced in Jamaica. I'm very much aware of it. I've worked with Jamaicans. I've been to Jamaica doing work. And I refuse to say that Jamaica is the most violent place on earth for gays. I refuse, because it's not. That language was constructed and painted, applied, laid on thick for a political purpose, to destroy Jamaica. And see, that's what that's an example of what I'm talking about. Good morning, caller.
Both of you, you know, Nuri. I didn't know if he ran out last night. I'm pretty sure he ran out last night. But, you know, many years ago when I was in the world, I used to hang out with some white boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to be smoking dope, hitting coke, and having a wonderful time, and nobody was trying to kill one another because nobody was interested in trying to sell it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But now when this stuff got in our hands for the first time, and I can remember when that happened, that's when a lot of the violence around this particular area started to happen, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
here it is now, we need the money. Like the white boys, well, you know, they doing it for recreation, but we doing it for business. And I think if we could just let these fellas have it for free, you might take some of the crime out of it.
Well, listen, that's I'm going to do some research, because there are a couple of jurisdictions that have tried alternate strategies, right,
mm-hmm.
for to reduce not only drug use, but crime, drug use related crime, right? So we got, I think in Utah, we have non-sober living facilities. So you don't have to be sober to get a place in a bed, right? Most facilities require that you have to be sober to get a bed. But this place is saying, hey, we know that people are struggling to stay sober because they don't have a place to live. Let's reverse it and step people through the process differently. There's some states and countries where they completely decriminalized all drugs. I think maybe Portugal. But I'm going to do the research, and I can bring some data back on that, and we could flesh out that conversation. Because here's the next thing. Like you saying, I'm glad you said it, and I'm glad that you connected it to what everyone has said. We can't talk about this violence without talking about the drug era.
Exactly.
We can't. In fact, I want to, before I get back to some local news, in Jamaica is now touting a significant decrease in homicides and murders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Significant decrease. But you hear people on the fringes whispering about extrajudicial killings. And to what extent has this number been brought down sort of drastically, significantly, right? To what extent has extrajudicial killings played a part in that shifting in numbers and statistics? Because then it means that maybe there wasn't a real shift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what are extrajudicial killings but homicides, right?
So the criminal attorneys like it this way.
And I want to very responsibly say that it's not unreasonable for people to be asking similar questions in this jurisdiction. See, but if you completely invisibilize the drug era, if you don't reference it, if you don't contextualize your conversation with that, by juxtaposing it to that, then you sound completely unreasonable when you say things like that. When this conversation that I'm going to be having with Natino Thompson in the big July 3rd, that's one of the ghosts that we refuse to talk about. And see how I break my toe? It's like a ghost, an invisible barrier, a block in the room, and we keep turning and bucking on our toe on something we can't see.
The room's so jammed up, everything's so tight, you know, when you have space,
yeah,
you don't buck your toe.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Yes, I'm okay, Ms. Green.
Good.
Yeah, as you was playing Squeeze the Mango, I was eating a mango.
Absolutely.
I'm not with you, but I get upset when I hear about extrajudiciary killings, right?
Uh-huh.
At age 60, there's decades of that. Nothing is ever being done. I could go down the chronology from, how old are you, 60? I could go back 50 years from my father was then CID, and I have been told stories by senior police officers as to why my father and certain officers fell out. So we see the tension amongst officers that they want to hide within themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just prefer if you don't talk about it, because nothing has ever been done. And it brings back memories of old friends, and like I discussed on Scoogey. And so I think something you said that I heard on Scoogey's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of course Cleaver was correct, but the language is self-inflicting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleaver's correct because the data and all that and everything.
It is.
No, I'm not going to let anybody paint my reality for me, but I'll share this little quick story, right?
Mm-hmm.
The young gentleman who shot you, Newbowl.
Mm-hmm.
I left my cell phone in the posy shop, so I swing back to get it. I wanted to get something for my children because I didn't cook, right? And the corner was blocked off. So as I turned to head east, the corner's blocked off, left and right. There wasn't no way to travel. The shooting, I guess, happened within the government project, but the police had the whole corner blocked off. I don't know why they would do that. That is something that they enjoy, abuse of. I don't have the right to even travel once something like that happens. I live in the area. I don't know if it's connected to this shooting in Big Pond. This young gentleman that I don't know him personally, but he always greets me with a smile. I was there to look at a car seat for somebody that lives next to him. And what happens is, I was there Sunday, and me and him had a conversation, and I was encouraging him because I think he opened up some of the small business or whatever, right? But
mm-hmm.
I was just encouraging him, and I stand up there and spoke with him for about 5 minutes. But I was thinking, if his attackers came then, and I was short, but people say I mix up in a gang. So the data that they given, like what you read from the whatever the WHO, whatever you say, data came from as far as gang related. It can't always be gang related. Let's say the shooting Big Pond. The 59-year-old stand up, he could have been a senior man stand up with a cool young man and don't know who doing what for who. You understand what I'm saying, Aaron?
Yeah.
So it's all you can't just juxtapose everything as gang related. This is the reason now why the police are so reluctant to solve the crimes when young men get shot. I mean they doing a good job, but you know, we see who all and what. We have them on the phone conversating, we have them making threats against other officers, but they still on our pay and enjoying the taxpayers' money and doing what they gotta do. But you know, so when you the extrajudiciary killing, it does something for somebody like me who has suffered decades and decades of neglect. I've seen instances in which the police allowed a vehicle to sit on top of the young man until his breath, until he died, because he was he tried to jump with the car. He was robbing the place on the corner, trying to rob a customer as they walked in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, that gives you the right to kill them. We see in the States where even when the police shoot someone, they offer CPR and they try to help with assistance. But here, it's the opposite, whereby you're black, so you will die. You understand what I'm saying? These are the things that they have seen. This is also injustice. We see where now that all these dubious extrajudiciary shootings come up with dubious scenarios with the coroner's court, and then we saw where with the six guys were shot on Jerome Avenue. The ambulance driver was forced to leave the victims alone and let them bleed out. The police tell them leave the people alone. So I don't want you know. You understand what I'm saying, Ms. Green?
Oh boy, I understand. Give thanks. Yeah. I also understand why you didn't want to talk about it. Why it's difficult to talk about it? Because once you start talking, you can't stop talking. I understand 52. Right? And I hope that the powers that be understand that that people have voices and they have experiences and they need to be able to share what is truth. There needs to be a space where they could say it, right? Without being accused of political mischief or being unpatriotic. People have the right and should be allowed to share their experiences in a way that can contribute to the public good. Producer, let's prepare for a break. Here's a text. No, no, no. A study just came out of Canada showing that underage marijuana use grew post-legalization of marijuana. The only province where underage marijuana use didn't increase was in Quebec, where they did not legalize marijuana. We have to be very careful of the message we send when we say such and such behavior doesn't cause harm. It's okay for someone over 18 to do. Sex in abundance causes harm. Food in abundance causes harm. Gambling in abundance causes harm. What's the common trait? In some people, these substances can lead to addiction and the inability to control intake. We need to be very careful with this legalized marijuana thing and moving to legalize everything. Yeah, no, no. Please trust me, I was just giving an example of a jurisdiction that has taken an alternate approach. And when I say I can do the research, it's because I know that there's been a lot of critique, right? An assessment of what's happened there and critique. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, I may not be here. I may be on Serenade of the Seas. I'll see you in a moment. Don't pick it up if you come and eat it. Fresh
from the tree. Ripe and juicy. Wait, you know just what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Bahamas, it's your girl, Coach Trish Hanna, and guess what? I'm over here now on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with Your Lane Talk Show. Starting Sunday, July 6th at 4 p.m., I'm bringing you real talk and fresh perspective on everything that matters to us as women. Relationships, beauty, finances, faith, and so much more. I'll continue to bring transparency to taboo topics as I aim to empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages, stepping boldly out of the four walls and into media. So tell a friend and tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. We're walking in your lane on Guardian Talk Radio.
Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. It's Your Lane Talk Show with Coach Trish Hanna.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
for posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. This is our 30th year, and we are doing it big. Sign up for 13 and under Tropical Gyro, 16 and under the Myers Group, Sun Oil, 20 and under in the Church Group, We Buy, You Sell, the Design Group in the Open Division, and for the first time, the Jamaica Bahamas Corporate Division. Competition begins July 14th to the 20th at the Hope Center. And then Kendall Isaacs. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
From the top of the tree, sitting in the basket, guaranteed to please. But I have to warn ya, they'll make you see stars, make you holler out at the moon, or run behind, cause I tell ya, go pick it up if you can manage it.
Morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Listen, Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want you to take a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter and four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025, drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. And remember, certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. Okay, I'm going to make that transition, but first let me finish off these texts. We got some good texts here. Text says, hey, Miss Green, if a duffel bag of cocaine is found and the person leave it in the bush, that drug is not dangerous once you leave it and not use it. People are dangerous and dishonest. That's what makes drugs dangerous. If you don't use it or touch it, it's not. The new COP needs to speak on police complaints as other commissioners did. Okay, a request for the commissioner to address police complaints. Here's another text. Hey, Aaron, I don't think C. Allen fully understands how these individuals operate. Sure, they may have certain skills, but they often struggle with social interaction, which is why they're on the corners in the first place. You can't expect someone to thrive in society if they're unable to function within it. Text, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I think what's implied in what C. Allen is saying is that those systems are creating spaces where these exact people, as you describe them, can still plug in, right, to a larger system to generate income for themselves or to a broader social and economic system where they also make an income for themselves. C. Allen, okay, this text here, C. Allen has all the answers for our country's problems. Why doesn't he give the solutions to his government in waiting and let's see what changes? I bet you he is. I bet you he is. I'm hoping that he's like, you know, I'm sharing it with the public, and the public includes the FNM. I've already shared it with the FNM, as C. Allen has declared himself a member of that party. Don't watch nothing. But thank you, Texter. I'm sure that he is. Ideas are like a magic penny. If you hold them tight, you won't have any. But if you lend them, spend them, you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. Let's look at today's headline in The Guardian. And today, and two headlines. I know we're almost out of time. And two headlines in The Tribune. In The Guardian, Davis warns civil servants. What you warning them about? A late pay session or something? What you warning them about, sir? And then this headline, Barnett Ellis, government passing laws without implementing. And another headline, Davis. Ask Leroy Major why he says PLP backbenchers feel sidelined. We can start with that one. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis has brushed aside concerns raised by Southern Shores MP Leroy Major, who recently claimed that PLP backbenchers are sidelined and face difficulty accessing government resources for their constituencies. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Aaron, I would like for you to explain to me, what does orange economy mean? Because they're using this word so loosely now, like the public know. When you want the public to understand you, you need to make it speak in layman terms. Because how you go around the street and ask them, how much people understand what orange economy means?
Yeah. Okay, so
they keep doing these things because they don't want us to understand what they say.
That's a part of it, eh? But it's something cultural. Hold on. Let's say for a moment it's something cultural as opposed to concerted malfeasance, right? Because they changed the law left on red and didn't feel they needed to tell anybody what that meant.
Right.
They paint lines
but
in the road.
Explain it to me in layman terms.
Okay.
So the public could understand it.
So the orange economy is the economy. It's the money and the business and the things generated by creative people. So when you see a Johnny Cake put on a concert, that's orange economy. Now, it's Johnny Cake the musician, then it's the MC, then it's the people who rent the equipment, it's the people who set up the equipment,
okay.
It's the people who do the lighting, right? It's
okay.
So when we say Junkanoo, orange economy, we don't make money off of the parade, but money is made off of the importation and sale of the crepe paper and the trinkets and the thing. And then somebody's going to come in and film the parade, and they're going to create a video, and then they're going to sell that to a tourism promotional business, right?
Thank you very much, Aaron. Because now the wider public understands what they mean
yeah.
when they say orange economy.
And it's so important because the government's job is not to put money in my hand, you know, and not even necessarily to put the opportunity to make money in my hand. But at the very least, you're supposed to create an environment in which I could put money in my hand. And you're supposed to explain to me what is the environment, why you put these things here, what are they for?
I'll explain some of these terms to you because not everybody went to college and study business classes to understand all these loose terms they use so loosely. It's like a doctor trying to explain to you what he's going to do when he operates on you without telling you in layman terms.
Right, and it's important for people, like people have narratives and stories that are politically expedient for them. One of the most important people in the blue economy is the boy who is go out in the water and put the conch down, and when you're ready, he's go up and pull it up.
I thought the blue economy was the average man, the blue collar worker is the average man.
It's the working class economy, but no, blue economy is ocean economy. And green economy is from eco-sustainable, right? What you derive from there.
Okay, but so now, I understand something else. So the blue-collar worker is somebody who works in an office.
No, white-collar worker is someone who works in the office. Blue-collar worker is somebody who works with their hands, works with trades, right? Works with the earth, works in construction. The gold-collar worker is...
Oh, Jesus. I never hear that one.
I know, because they don't... Why would they tell you where the job applications are?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
So what is the gold? What is the gold one now.
So the gold collar worker is like above the white collar worker. They work with supranational agencies, right? Like
so they're CEOs, like they're the big CEOs and all that.
They high level, but still workers though. See, that's the important part. They still workers.
Yeah, and then CEOs, they work.
And then you got the no collar workers like me who's work on people nerves.
No, but see, you still teaching the public, so you're doing something important.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I got two more callers on the line, but I appreciate your question because we're going to read Barnett Ellis government passing laws without implementing at some point. Good morning, caller.
You need 2 or 3 hours.
Good morning. How you do?
Good morning, Ms. Green. Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Bobby, listen, Prime Minister Davis saying that the man or the person put their resignation on his office. It sounds like he's sending a threat, a demand from the public service to, you know, deal with the files, some more things faster, and someone already put their resignation in. You know who that person is, eh?
What? No. Yeah, then,
tell me something.
Yes.
I listened to an X station last night, and they were saying that one of the media outlets, the owner,
mm-hmm.
is trying to get, not trying, but it's a businessman in the Make Warner, I believe, the Make Warner area, and they're trying to get a nomination from the PLP, and I was wondering if I dreamed that or what, say, either one Mr. Robert Karen or something like that.
What?
But it sounded like a dream or something, but that's the Tribune, right? That's the people.
No, man. I mean, there could be two people with that name.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, because you telling me that somebody try make you dream that a person named Robert Karen is running for the PLP in the Southern Shores, in the Southern constituencies?
No, in Micah.
Yeah, in Micah. That's Southern.
Micah, Inagua, Acklins, and all of them. I believe Make Warner might be in that.
Yeah, that's Make Warner. It's not a real place, but it's definitely a part of Micah.
And stuff, and he was saying how he want to make it better for the people, and he asked for nominees, allegedly, from the PLP. We would have taught the F&M or something.
Yeah, like how they say Beryl Hannah went down to the Southern Islands and tell the people the Queen sent me to tell you to vote PLP.
You mean the PLP go win again?
I didn't say that.
If that man could get a nomination from the PLP, he ain't going with the F&M. All of this scandal, the PLP go win again, eh?
No, man, only shame and scandal in the family, not in the PLP, okay? Only in the family. Wow, you blew my mind. But listen, let me keep reading from this article. Thank you very much, Papa, for your call this morning, producer. Let's go to the next caller quickly because I only got 2 minutes. Oh, okay, here we go. We're going to continue reading from this article. Davis warns civil servants. Addressing hundreds of progressive Liberal Party supporters last night, PM Davis said his administration has more work to do before the next election and warned the civil servants not to slow down the progress his government wants to make. What? Producer, how apropos. Quote, I'm fully prepared to move anyone or send anyone home who isn't getting the Bahamian people's work done. Close quotes. What? Hold on, sir. You're not allowed to say that. Not even on a rally stage. You're not allowed to say it. What is happening? First of all, Bishop singing pastor, no more shush. From you say we loses the goosies, but them took you seriously, you know. Dear Prime Minister, you're not allowed to say that. I'm not sure why these other sensible human beings haven't gotten up and told you that yet. But you're not allowed to say I'm fully prepared to move anyone or send home anyone who isn't getting the Bahamian people's work done. I can stick a pin. I can continue reading. This government, quote, this government was elected to deliver, not to stall, not to delay, not to make excuses. I told one fella straight, if you miss that deadline, I want your resignation letter on my desk. And let me tell you, that letter's on my desk because we're not here to collect titles. We are here to serve. Dear sir, I say, I'm not sure if you have the legal authority to fire people because you say so, right? But here's the question. Do you really have the moral authority to say that? Do you know how long it took Kirk Cornish to present himself to the police after they requested? Do you remember who you were talking about when you came outside the building and you said, oh, I think I heard a woman recant? You remember? Do you remember how long we've been waiting for this immigration commission. I have the story here. Immigration commission to tell us what they discovered after Keith Bell had the citizenship swearing in the church service. Producer, I hear you. I thank you very much. My producer's a professional. I am not. I mean, not in this very moment. I'm going to have to pick this up later this week because I'm stunned that nobody has actually gotten up and told you you're not allowed to say that, sir. And ask you where you was by the moral authority to do things like that. Anyway, this has been On the Clock, and now I'm off the clock for right now. Hopefully, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.